The Nature Journal is brought to you by SAPI in the interest of conserving our planet and enriching and empowering all South Africans.
Well, of course, in our program, talking about conservation and I suppose science, and conservation science really often comes back to citizen science. We're going to chat to Elsa Pusia today, and we're going to find out more about science and wild fashion join forces for conservation. Elsa, first of all, welcome to you, and tell us a little bit about the projects that you have been involved in. You in South Africa to do what sort of work?
So I'm interested in the statistical methods that we can use to study elusive species, and precisely those that can be identified by their foot patterns, like those who have spots, stripes, rosettes, or all different kind of patterns that can be recognized.
I kind of like this. I'm immediately thinking of a whole fashion parade now of all sorts of animals going past and being identified by their different patterns. But I suppose each one in some way is unique.
All of the patterns work like fingerprints for humans, so everyone has got its own masterpiece. If all the zebras are striped, the way the stripes are displayed on each individual is unique, so we can use them for individual identification.
A program like this, I would imagine, relies on a lot of photography.
Yes. The first thing we need to do to study these species is to get a lot of photographs, so we can build up catalogs and we can have photographic history. Then we can know how many they are, how far they go, and for that we use camera traps.
Let's have a look, first of all, also, what is a camera trap? Because immediately I'm hearing the word trap, and listeners are going to go, not going to use this because it hurts the animal.
So a camera trap is an automated digital camera, which triggers whenever an animal walks in front of it and trigger the camera sensor.
The camera trap photographs, are they good quality?
Well, that depends on the camera trap you decide to have. You've got lots of different ones. Some are infrared with an infrared flash, so you get black and white photographs. So it is less good quality, but it's less disturbance for the animal. And then you've got incandescent flash, which freezes the movement, so you get high quality photographs.
How on earth does one decide where to put these camera traps?
Well, it can be random, or you can look for tracks or any signs of activity like latrines. Yeah, whenever you think there is a good chance to see an animal, a path.
Once you've decided where to put them, how often do you have to go back and look at the photographs?
That also depends on the type of battery that the cameras have. But the idea is that you can leave them for a while, so you don't have to go back every day, which can bring more disturbance as well. And as the days go, the human smile will go away. So you can leave them for a week or two. Sometimes it can go up to 2 months, and then you retrieve your photos, and that's a surprise.
When you look at the animals and you say, okay, there are 4 or 5 photographs of leopard, for example, how do you start to decide that it is the same leopard or maybe it's different?
So you have to look at the fur pattern and find a rosette which you think is original, as a different shape than the other ones. And then you go through all the photos and see if you can find it again. Sometimes it requires a bit of training, but it's relatively easy if you spend enough time.
Okay, now comes the silly question. This sounds like a lot of fun, but it's obviously serious because you're wanting to do it for research. Why, in fact, do we want to do this program?
To start from the beginning, there were a lot of techniques that were developed by past statisticians to estimate the abundance and therefore density of different species. And these techniques work very well for herbivores that were visible, and it was more difficult for elusive species and carnivores. So the idea was to capture them, mark them, and then release them. And then through multiple capture events, we could count the animals and then estimate abundance and density. So the idea now is that we don't need to capture them. We don't need to need invasive. They are already showing off their uniqueness. And all we need is to use camera traps to capture them on photographs. And then we can count them. And there are statistical models that were developed. From these data, we can estimate a fairly good density estimate.
Once you start doing this work, is it only you that can go out and put the camera traps out, or is it a case of you would like camera traps on all sorts of different properties to enable you to pick up a wider and wider range of species.
So the more camera traps, obviously, the better. If they are too far apart from each other, then it becomes a little bit complicated. But for species like leopards and brown hyenas that are very wide-ranging, then the cameras can be quite far away from each other. And then, yes, the more camera traps we have, then the more precise we can be for the estimate. Anyone can go out there and put cameras, so that would be helpful.
Has this ever been done before, or is this new to start going in the numbers that you want to put across the country?
It is not completely new. We've been using camera traps in research for several years now, but it is becoming an active field of research quite recently. So there are more and more projects like this that develop, but it's still something quite new.
The type of camera traps that you're using, you obviously explained the difference in flashes involved. Cost-wise, what does it cost for a camera trap?
That also can depend a lot. I would say it can be 1,000 rand for first price, and can go up to 6,000 rand. Usually when you buy a camera trap, you must think that you will probably have to buy batteries and maybe protective housing if you've got elephants in the area, or even hyenas that will be happy to destroy it. So there are other costs you had to that, but I would say the camera we're using, we're cutting something like 4,000 rand each.
I would imagine that it's also a bit like a lucky packet, because you never know what you're going to get. It must be kind of exciting to go up to this camera trap the first time that after you've replaced it and say, let's download and see what we've got.
Yeah, it is really exciting. It's always a surprise, and sometimes you've got good surprises, sometimes less good when you've got nothing or only grass moving. But for me, it's a bit like when you wake up in the morning and open your gift for Christmas. You don't know what you're going to get.
Well, I know what Elsa would like. She'd like about 1,000 camera traps that she could put across the country, because obviously that would deliver a lot of information. The type of areas that one goes there, I would imagine there's no part of South Africa that you don't really want to survey.
Actually, the places we're more interested now are the non-protected lands. So people have a fairly good idea of what they have in their protected areas in national parks, but we don't know how many animals we have outside protected areas. So anywhere in the country, it's useful.
Well, I do know that a friend of mine works on a forestry operation on a commercial forest. And everybody says that a commercial forest is dead. It has nothing inside it. He's coming up with the most fantastic photographs of serval, genet, warthog, wild pigs, you name it. It's in the forest. And people have always said that there's nothing there. So I'm assuming that when you say the secretive type species, we don't really know much about these animals.
Yeah, some of them are very discreet. Those that are nocturnal and wide-ranging and occur at a low density, obviously, it's very unlikely we come across them. So that's how we can find out if there is a black-footed cat or an odd wolf around. Actually, these camera traps, they were used in North America, and that's how they found out that the wolverine was an extinct in some of the places. That's also how they found a new species of shrew in Kenya. So there's a lot of things that we can do that camera traps can help.
Okay, that's kind of interesting, because one immediately thinks of camera traps being triggered by larger animals, as you said, the brown hyena, maybe a genet. But now you're talking shrews. That must add a whole wonderful opportunity to people, is the small mammals.
Yeah, so cameras can be more or less sensitive to movements, but you can also put them lower on the ground and you can get the smaller mammals, the reptiles and birds walking around, all sort of wildlife.
Have you had any response from your cameras? Is there anything that has really been exciting when you turned around and thought, wow, I never thought about that, and it's appeared on a camera trap that's been put out?
Yeah, a lot of things. Probably what I like the most is when at a carcass I had a cheetah coming in the middle of the night, whereas we think they're mostly active during the day. And then a second later, a brown hyena came and chased it away. So it shows that actually the brown hyena is not at the bottom of the hierarchy. So, yeah, that was exciting.
Also, a project like this, once you start it, it must be difficult to turn around and say, I've got enough data now for my PhD. You must just want to keep on going forever.
That's true. It's a very addictive activity. The statistical models actually force you to put an end to it because there are some prior hypotheses that you have to respect. And one of them is there is a certain time you can leave the cameras out there. But that doesn't prevent you to repeat the experiment again and again. And it's also a good thing to compare them over different times. So, yeah, there is not really any end to it.
At the beginning of this, what I didn't tell Elsa either is in the early times I was involved in cheetah camera trapping. Very different to now. The camera traps at that point, we had the camera, we had cables that had to be buried underground to the trigger device on the other side. So the animal had to walk between two things to work. Not like the modern camera, which is also known, folks, as a trophy cam. And that's because it's used in America to identify trophies. And we're not going hunting on this occasion. We're actually identifying species and hence called the camera trap. And those old camera traps were hugely costly to run on batteries. They were terrible because every animal could find the cable and pull them up and create absolute havoc. Elephants would steal them. It was just a nightmare. The new ones that you're using are absolutely incredible. And of course, you can put them onto a tree. You can really put them anywhere, can't you?
Yes, you can put them anywhere. If you're in the Kalahari or any type of desert and there is no obvious tree, you can still use a pole or anything you can put in the ground. And then with cable ties, it's pretty easy to tie them anywhere.
Folks, one of the things that may be nice as well is that remember that a project like this is tremendously expensive. And of course, a student can't go out and buy herself 50 cameras. And one of the ways of doing this is possibly to adopt a camera. And that's a policy that we're going to be talking about over the next while as well on radio. Is it possible for folk to become involved and adopt a camera? You will then get the information from that camera and you become part of the project in a citizen science way as well, where instead of just going out and taking your own photographs, you have something that is done in a particularly mapped way. Because I guess, as Elsa said, you can put it in different places, but I'm also assuming, Elsa, you have test sites where you want to get the information, and it would be really great if people decided to sponsor a camera and you could use it in a project in that way. Would that be a help to you?
Yeah, that would be a great help, obviously. The more cameras we have, the more precise we can be. And as you said, as soon as we talk about big numbers, it becomes costly and it's often a limiting factor in research. So yeah, it will help a lot if this could work.
Elsa, information that people might want to find out more about this, is this going to be on the ADU website?
Yes, it's going to be on the ADU website, on the Facebook pages and all different medias we're using.
So if you want to find out more, folks, it is www.adu.org.za, and of course it is our citizen science slot, so you can go on there, discover more about it, but at the same time also understand that projects like this take time and the results that they give are absolutely incredible. And I think the thrill of it so often is when somebody says, I did not know I had that species in the area. And so many of these animals are very, very secretive. And fortunately, they are secretive because if they weren't, they'd possibly be blamed for something and clubbed over the head. And therefore, this just becomes a great way of looking at them. And of course, it is a wonderful way because it is non-invasive. Nobody is going in and tracking the animal. Nobody is going to go and try and put collars on it. It is simply left to walk past the camera trap. And as Elsa says, the patterns of the side of the coat, all those coat patterns are unique to a specific animal. Maybe the overall leopards all have spots, but each one is different. Elephants, well, mostly identified by their ears. Lions also by scars on their faces. There are just so many ways that you can do this. And of course, it always is an interesting way of becoming involved in science. And it's always a great way to look at the results that come out of that. Elsa, we're going to follow this with some interest. And of course, we hope to chat to you again and find out more about your project as it develops.
Thank you very much.
Here we go. That was Elsa Brazier from the ADU. And we are going to find out more about that project as time goes on. And of course, do remember the website again, www.adu.org.za.
The Nature Journal is an initiative in support of the sustainability of our planet, its people, and prosperity. Brought to you by Sappi, global paper, packaging, and cellulose company. Sappi, inspired by life.
Thank you.